Our second interview is on child vision screening. The UK National Screening Committee policy recommends that all children aged 4 to 5 should have their vision checked in an orthoptist-led service, although this target is currently not being met. With the rise of vision screening software in the UK, Shail Patel talks to Professor David Thompson about products that may be of use in screening children. Professor Thompson is a lecturer at City University and has spoken to Optometric Quarterly previously in 2009 about his research into children's vision screening.
David, so the guidelines for vision screenings in the UK are due to be reviewed. Can you explain to us the current guidelines?
Yes, the UK was the first country in the world to recognise that before we spend a lot of time and effort and money educating children, it's probably a good idea to make sure that they can see properly and hear properly. And so a system of universal vision screening was introduced over 100 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And although it's fair to say that system was less than perfect, there's no doubt that it provided a good safety net, and a lot of children with vision and hearing problems were actually first detected through the system of vision screening. Now, prior to 2004, the guidelines were that all children should have their eyes looked at soon after birth, usually by a paediatrician, and then screened preschool, then on school entry, then again at the age of 7, then again at the age of 11. And then in 2004, the Health for All Children, otherwise known as the Hall Report, was published, and on the recommendation of the National Screening Committee, they revised the guidelines and did away with a number of those screenings. So the current situation is that all children should have their eyes looked at soon after birth, and then they should have a screening on school entry, and that's it. So there's no preschool screening now recommended, or at 7 or 11. So the screening net has got bigger holes. And to make things even worse, according to a Freedom of Information survey that was done by the RNIB, and indeed by Which as well, suggests that at least a third of primary care trusts are not offering any form of screening. And even where screening is done, to be fair, in some areas it's done well, but in a lot of areas it's really not done terribly well. So we have a situation at the moment where that safety net that's been in place for all those years has developed some very large holes. And given that between 15 and 20% of children on school entry have some form of significant visual problem, a lot of those children are currently slipping through the net.
How important is children's vision screening, and what problems does it face?
Well, my view is that vision screening is really important. You could argue that all children should have full eye examinations. And I suppose in an ideal world that might happen. But the problem with that is that it's dependent on the parents taking the child for the eye examination. And we know that actually parents tend to give children's eye care a surprisingly low priority. And so you'll get some parents will take their children along, but a lot of parents won't. And it's often the most needy children that won't be taken along. You could also argue that given the prevalence of eye problems amongst school children, which is not terribly high, it's not the best use of taxpayers' money to pay for eye examinations for all children on such a regular basis. And you could even argue, actually, it's probably, given the current GOS fee for seeing children, it's actually not a terribly attractive option for optometrists either. So my view is the most effective way, most efficient way of detecting and managing children's eye problems is to have a safety net in place, that is vision screening. Do it at school, because then you've got a captive audience, you can get close to 100% take up. But of course, if you're going to do that, it's got to be a good quality screening, and you've got to be fairly certain that those who fail the screening do actually end up in the right place, having a full eye examination and getting the intervention they need. I think that's actually the most cost-effective and efficient way of delivering eye care for children.
I understand that you've developed software to manage vision screening in schools. Can you tell me how you approach this task?
Yeah, it all started for me a good number of years ago now when my eldest daughter brought home a note from school. At least we found it in her bag several weeks later, covered in yogurt and crumbs and things. And when we unraveled it, it said, your child has defective vision, a proforma with a box ticked. And I remember thinking at the time, what a poor way of actually telling me as a parent that there was a problem. And also there was no information about what the implications of this were, what action I should take as a parent. And it turned out the result was wrong. There was nothing wrong with her vision. So that set myself and some of my colleagues off on a little bit of a crusade to try and improve the way that vision screening was done in school. And my interest over the years has been developing software for vision testing and screening. So my thoughts immediately turned to, could we produce a computer system to manage the screening process? And that's what we've done. It's taken a long time, actually, to reach the stage where we're at now, close to 10 years. But we now have a system in place which we believe could make a really significant difference to the way that vision screening is done in the UK. In a nutshell, the way that it works is that you have a cloud-based server, a very secure server, and all the children's details, their names and dates of birth and all the rest is uploaded to the server. Then we have an application that runs on a laptop. So the nurse or the screener runs the application, plugs in to the internet, downloads all the children's names onto the laptop. They then go to the school with the laptop and they do the screening. And the program makes screening into a bit of a game. We have a cartoon character that points at the letters. Mm-hmm. And essentially we measure crowded logmar, monocular crowded logmar, and we do a blur test, which will pick up the target conditions being amblyopia, significant refractive error, myopia, astigmatism, and hypermetropia. It will effectively and efficiently pick up those conditions. At the end of the screening, and you can do, typically a screener can screen 60, 70 children in a day, the screener then takes the laptop back to the office, plugs into the internet, and simply clicks on synchronize, and that uploads all the data back to the server. And the server then analyzes the data and automatically produces customized letters for the parents. So the old pro forma that I got is a thing of the past. Each parent now gets a customized letter saying Jack's right eye is not quite so good as his left eye, and tells them exactly what action they should take as a result of that. The children that pass, so just the parents are told, continue to look after your child's eyes. The children who fail, it depends on what the local pathway is. It may be take your child to a secondary clinic. It may be take your child to an optometrist. And the beauty of the system is when the child is taken to the secondary clinic, the clinician can then log in to the server and look at the results for the screening and confirm the child has turned up at the secondary clinic and also confirm whether it's a true positive or a false positive and what intervention is being offered. So is it spectacles? Is it patching? Is it onward referral? Now, the beauty of that is that it means that across a whole area, at any moment in time, you know how many children have been screened, how many have passed, how many have failed. Of those that have failed, how many have actually turned up at the secondary clinic? How many of those were true positives? How many are false positives? So it gives you real-time audit data about how well the screening process is going. And that sort of information simply hasn't been available in the past.
What would happen to the children who fail the vision screening?
It is really important that a proper pathway is in place. There's absolutely no point doing screening in the first place unless the children who fail the screening actually end up getting the intervention that they need. Now, when you think that the main target conditions are amblyopia and significant refractive error, then the first thing that you'd want to do with children who fail the screening is a cycloplegic refraction. Now, who is in the best position to do that? Well, optometrists. And so it's my opinion that the most efficient pathway to deal with failures of the screening is via optometrists. Now, you could say that they can go to any optometrist. The problem with that is that it's very difficult to ensure that they get the same consistent examination, prescribing, referral if you simply go to any optometrist. My own view is the way forward in terms of this particular pathway is to have a selected group of optometrists within each area who sign up to be part of the pathway. They sign up to offering a certain examination protocol, a certain prescribing protocol, a certain referral protocol. So it means that all children going through that pathway will essentially get the same examination and management. And as part of that, they sign up to actually provide that feedback information onto the server. So my view is that optometrists should play a key role in that referral pathway. Exactly how that's organised remains to be seen, but I think actually selected and perhaps some form of accreditation is the way to go in terms of managing that pathway.
Your software and system is currently being trialled in a number of areas. What do these trials involve?
Yes, the software is now complete, and we've been using it in 10 areas with 10 primary care trusts. And the trials have gone really well. Essentially, we've been using the software to perform the screening and manage the pathway. And that's gone very well. It's proved to be popular amongst the screeners. They enjoy using it. It's much easier for them to use. Far less scope for making errors when recording logmar acuity and transcription errors. But the big attraction really is that it saves a huge amount of time in terms of the back office processing. The way it used to work is often nurses, screeners would go to a school, do a day's screening, then have to spend a couple of days back in the office preparing all the letters for parents and feeding the information back into the child health records and the like. And that's a complete waste of their time and resources and skills. So with this system, all of that back office stuff is done for them. All the audit data is prepared automatically. So it's gone really well. And we have a number of those PCTs actually signed up to use the system next year. So hopefully about 200,000 children or so will be screened using the system during the next academic year.
And what do you expect the outcomes of the trials to be?
Well, the outcomes were really very positive. You never quite know when you develop these things how they're going to work in the real world. But the response we've had from the screeners was extremely positive. The children love it because they see it as a little bit of a game. And the fact that it does all the back office administration effectively automatically has shown that really it's a very efficient way of delivering this sort of service. And in fact, although we started out with just vision screening, mm-hmm. we've now developed an audiometry module to go with it. So we have an audiometer that plugs into the laptop and again makes the hearing screening into a bit of a game. So you have cartoon characters that squeak and the child has to identify which of the characters is squeaking. And so it's it makes it into a game, which when you're dealing with 4 or 5-year-olds, mm-hmm. part of the trick is to engage them. So if you can make it fun and into a game, you get actually better results. And then it manages the children through the hearing referral route as well. And the other thing that's going on in schools at the moment is that all children have to have their height and weight measured on school entry and again in year 6. And so we've included that as part of the package as well. So the nurse or the screener can enter the child's height and weight and it will then work out their BMI and then look to see where that fits in terms of the development, the BMI for a child of that age and the gender, and will automatically generate letters for parents giving appropriate advice based on their classification.
What do you think this means for the future of children's vision testing and the role of optometrists in the system?
I think we've now got a really exciting opportunity to put in place a decent safety net. At the moment, the system is broken. The safety net has large holes in it. It's inefficient. It's expensive to administer. I think we have a real opportunity now to put in place a really good screening system, which will be capable of detecting really the vast majority of children that have vision problems. Because if you're doing the screening in schools and all schools are doing it, then you will detect those children with significant vision problems. And if we put in place an appropriate pathway, then I think we have a real opportunity to put in place a good screening system, which will mean that very few children will slip through the net. And most children with visual problems will be picked up at an early stage before it affects their social and educational development and offered an appropriate intervention. And I think optometry will play or could play a really important key part in that process.
Thanks, David and Shale. Again, details of further reading on this subject can be found on the Docket website.